Hey, everybody, we're about ready to get started. Go ahead and try to find a seat. We've got three prime seats right up here in the front. Thank you so much for being here tonight, and a special word of welcome to our first-timers. We are delighted that you're here for Theology on Wednesdays, formerly known as Theology on Tuesdays, formerly known on Theology on Tap. We're usually in the whiskey room, but we're in the coffee lounge tonight, and just delighted to be here and so glad that y'all could come out. We are delighted to have a special guest, Katie Freer, who is our newly appointed Director of Women's Ministries at St. Philip's. I've known Katie since she was 12, and she is wonderful and going to be a great addition to our staff at St. Philip's, and you will be hearing a little bit more about her background later and then as we get into our topic for tonight. So just a couple of logistical things. First, again, welcome. So glad that you are here and figured out which room to go to and all of those things. If you look in front of you, there are several sheets that are scattered around the room with a bunch of QR codes on them. Especially if this is your first time, I would really commend to you the QR code that will let you get added to our mailing list. That would be a big help to us so we can reach out to you and let you know when we are going to be having our get-togethers and other various events that may be of interest to you. That would be wonderful if you could fill that out. Also, you will see there's another QR code for Holy City Life. You may be wondering, what is that? And basically, that is a parallel organization to Theology on Tuesdays. And it's basically just an opportunity for social gathering outside of this group. And it's particularly great if you are new to town and don't know folks. It's a great way to be able to spend some time with some like-minded people enjoying some of the wonderful things that Charleston has to offer. So please keep that in mind and sign up for that. And then last but not least, there's also a QR code for questions. If you are new tonight, one of the things that we do at the end of our talk is we have a time for questions, and you can use that QR code to submit any question anonymously, whether it's a question about what we have talked about tonight or about something totally different, doesn't matter. And no one can see who submitted the question, but all of us will be able to see the question itself, and we'll be able to upvote the ones that we think are interesting. So Wes is going to be our moderator tonight, and so if you have questions as we go through, go ahead and send those in, and then we will tackle as many of them as we can at the end. As you probably noticed, Justin is not here tonight. He is enjoying some vacation in the mountains where it's probably about 72 degrees, so we will try not to be jealous of that. But I am back from the UK and very happy to be here. And as we turn toward the topic for tonight, we just wanted to talk a little bit about the idea of a devotional makeover. A lot of times in our culture, we hear about New Year's resolutions, but I think especially for young adults, most are more in the academic mindset where the beginning of fall, the beginning of school, that is the time that we think about a reset, a retool, a re-evaluation of our priorities. And that is a great thing to do with our spiritual lives as well. When we were away this summer, part of the time that we were gone, we were in Oxford for a week. And one of the things that I was reminded of was that the way that Christianity has been practiced in places that are more ancient than the United States is pretty different. One of the things in Oxford and in any town that has a cathedral in the UK is they have daily worship. People go daily to worship as well as on Sundays. And there's a sense that this is part of the rhythm of your life. And one of the things that I think particularly is true for those of us that grew up in the Bible Belt is we are attuned to the rhythm of church on Sunday, but that may be about it. We are oriented toward the idea that we go to church once a week, and it's kind of like we go to the grocery store once a week. We need to do that. And when we go, it can be a really amazing experience where we feel like we encounter the presence of the Lord. We may experience conviction about something or joy of renewed truth that we've seen. But once we get back into the grind of the workday on Monday, whether it is things piled up on the Teams app or our voicemail full of things from our boss that needed to be done yesterday or other stressors in our email, it's very easy between the pressures of work and the tide of social media and everything else that washes over us to just become completely absorbed by secular concerns during the week. So part of what we want to talk about tonight is trying to reframe that, trying to reframe our reality to understand that the kingdom of God is what is really important, and that as we approach each new day, that when we begin that day with an understanding that we are the Lord's and He desires for us to be with Him, He desires to speak into our lives and to show His love for us, if we carry that understanding through the week, that will make a huge difference. And one of the things that we're going to do tonight is to try to talk a little bit from our own experience about things that have worked well in our devotional life, things that maybe have not worked well, and some practices that you might find to be life-giving. But before we do that, I want to turn things over to Katie for just a little bit so that she can share for about 5 minutes or so a little bit of her background and her life coming up to this point, and then we will jump into talking about devotional life. So Katie, it's all yours.
All right, about myself. Let's see, so I grew up here in Charleston and grew up going to St. Philip's Church. My siblings and I were some of those kids who showed up in Sunday school every single Sunday and services every Sunday morning. I also had the privilege of growing up singing in the children's choir and being quite active in a number of different, I'd say youth groups and that sort of thing around town, not just at St. Philip's, but with friends at St. Michael's and in the diocese. I went to summer camp at the local diocesan camp here and had great memories with that. But I went to Charleston Day and Ashley Hall and then headed on to Davidson, where I did what a lot of people in college do. It's sort of fall away a bit from my regular practices in church, but also came home on holidays and that sort of thing, and I was always back in church on Sunday morning with my family, and also in particular with my grandfather, who was in the pew every Sunday saving space for all of us whether we made it or not, which was pretty incredible to know that there was always a place for me. I took some time off after college, moved to London, did some really exciting things with Alpha at St. Michael's after college, which was a really exciting opportunity for me to explore what my Christian faith meant to me. Alpha is sort of a Christianity 101 course, which gives you an opportunity to understand the foundations of our faith and what it means to you. And I got very involved, again, as an adult in the church through checking that out, exploring it, and really making a decision that this was going to be a very important part of my life and my journey. Let's see. I met my husband through a group in their 20s and 30s through church called The Gate at St. Michael's at the time. So I have a particular heart for young people coming out of college in that professional time when they're sort of figuring things out, because it was certainly very important for my life story. And we got married here in Charleston and then moved to Virginia for a while, where I ended up working for a church as the director of children's ministry. Then we moved up to Washington. I spent some time working in some nonprofits and very quickly realized that as noble as it was, it wasn't where my heart was, and was able to secure a place in All Saints Church in Chevy Chase in their family ministry and eventually as their director of children's ministry as well. And my husband and I moved back to Charleston after COVID, or I guess during COVID, really. We have now 4 children, and I am thrilled and excited to be moving back into full-time ministry work through St. Philip's as the director of women's ministry starting in just a few weeks.
Yeah, well, we are even more excited than you are probably about that, and just really delighted that you can come and be with this group tonight and meet some of the folks that are part of it. And as we move into our topic tonight, one of the things that we try to do is to provide some things that will be a practical help to people in living out their faith in this season of life as young adults. And one of the things that we hear from people pretty often is that Sunday mornings when they come to church, they are deeply blessed by that time. They feel like they encounter the Lord. Sometimes the Lord speaks to them through the worship or the sermon or whatever it might be, but that once Monday hits and they are back out into the secular world, it can be a little bit overwhelming. And part of the issue, I think, for many folks is that they've not been able to find a good rhythm of what we in the church traditionally have called a devotional life. And so what we want to talk about tonight is just some framework for that and some practices that might or might not be helpful. And one of the things that is difficult is that I think for many of us, we don't really know where to start. And I remember when I became a Christian my freshman year in college, I didn't really know what to do, but I had this idea that you were supposed to read the Bible. And so I thought, okay, well, the Bible's a book. I'm going to start at the beginning and just keep going. So I read Genesis, and that was pretty good. And I read Exodus, and that was pretty good. And then Leviticus, and I tried. I honestly did, but I was like, this is, it doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't seem to have any relevance to my life. And I just gave up and felt so guilty about it. And so finally, someone who was an older and wiser Christian was asking me what I was doing in my devotional life. And I told them that story, and they're like, no, 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 you should have started with gospel. You have to do things in a way that you're going to be able to have a framework that will draw you closer to Jesus. And so fortunately, my devotional experiences since then have been much better. But I would love to hear from you about a little bit about your devotional experiences, maybe what was the worst or the best, or just sort of how that started for you.
Great question. When I was thinking about the topic for tonight and thinking about devotional, I actually spent the time to look up this word devotion in the dictionary to try to figure out what is this we're actually talking about. Now, I know that, you know, in Christian circles, when we talk about a devotion or a devotional, we talk about, you know, the practice that we do that brings us closer to the Lord, closer in our worship time, closer in our relationship. And I thought about devotion also when you are devoted to someone you love, and you're devoted to a relationship or devoted to a job or devoted to a sport. You really have this zeal for it. You have this excitement for it. You have this interest in pursuing it and spending time with the person, spending time getting to know them, really digging deeper into it, you know, and whatever the topic ends up being. So the concept of being devoted to something and and really expanding your experience of it in a deeper way was fascinating to me to really think about that. Okay, so how do we do that? How do we increase our devotion? And what does that look like? And you asked, what is one of your worst devotional experiences? And I had to think about that a little bit. To be honest, I can't name names, but I feel like a bad devotional experience is anytime you pick up something and you think, okay, I'm going to do this whole thing and I'm going to do it perfectly and I'm going to do it right and it has to look like this. And you start and maybe you do great the first day and then maybe the second day you get disrupted or interrupted as you're trying to make this happen, or maybe you hit snooze on your alarm too many times and you don't get up in time. But that would be the worst kind of devotional experience where, you know, a few days into it, you decide, oh, well, I haven't done it right, so I should stop. Or you forget, or this becomes too much for you to manage, because that is the exact opposite of what we want to do when we think about our devotional life. We want to make sure we're thinking of something and fitting things in a way that is an ongoing exploration and an ongoing process and part of our life. It doesn't have to be this very high level right off the bat, and this level of perfection that I think sometimes we expect of ourselves when we think about leading a devotional life.
Yeah, I think that is such a good point. And I think part of the issue is that that whole idea of what devotion actually means, I think, is so important, because going back to St. Augustine, and one of the things that you probably have heard in here, if you've been around Theology on Tuesdays for a while, is Justin and I both really like St. Augustine, and you might get a series on him at some point. But one of the things that he talks about a lot is that if we are to flourish as people trying to follow Jesus, we need to have what Augustine calls rightly ordered loves. And he says that there are a lot of things that we can love, and there are all things that maybe are good to love. But the problem is when we get them in the wrong order, then we are in serious trouble. So for me, one of the things you might say I'm devoted to is barbecue. I love barbecue. I could spend all my time going from Lewis's to Rodney Scott's to Home Team to Melvin's and back again, and that would just be really great. But if I made that my first highest priority love, I would be in serious trouble health-wise and all sorts of other ways. And so I think part of the way that we get at this idea of a vibrant devotional life is getting our priorities in order and realizing that the first thing, the most important thing, the first love is our love for Christ. But the problem sometimes is that we can go, when we reach that conclusion, we can go overboard, kind of in the way that you were talking about, and think that we have to have perfection. And so we may have the idea, I am gonna have a complete devotional makeover. I'm gonna start getting up at 4:30 in the morning, and I'm gonna spend an hour and a half in Bible study and prayer with the Lord every morning, and it's gonna be awesome. And it actually might be awesome for a day or two, but I can almost guarantee you that if that is not your pattern and you try to do that after a couple of days, you are gonna fail. And then you're gonna feel guilty and you're gonna think, I just have blown it. I've blown my relationship with God and I'm just not gonna do anything at all. So I think because that is such an easy thing to have happen, it's much better to start small and really work on being consistent. Try to figure out where it is in your day that you've got some time that you can come and just be with the Lord and spend some time in scripture and in prayer. And even if it's just 5 minutes, if it's 5 minutes consistently, that will begin to transform your life. One thing I would say is don't have those 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever it is be at the end of your day. I tried that a while back. And I was like, oh, this is going to be great. I have this unstructured time right when I'm going to bed. And so I'm just going to lie down And then I'm going to have like this amazing reflection and prayer time. But of course, I fell asleep. And I think that's what happens to most of us. So I would recommend earlier in the day is definitely a good thing. And there are all sorts of different things that you can try. Katie, what are some things that you have found to be good devotional practices at various points in your life?
Great question. As a busy mom at this point in my life, I have found that tying my devotional practices to a certain portion of my day has actually been very helpful to me. So when I get in the car, I turn on the Christian radio station here that actually just sort of surrounds me with some positive, uplifting, encouraging music. I use the app on my phone as well. So when I'm getting up in the morning and I don't want to talk to anybody because I am tired and I am not a morning person, I turn on the app and I have this sort of positive, reassuring message. In fact, my children have said that they love when I'm playing the music in my back pocket when I come in to wake them up in the morning. They like being woken up by that that worshipful music. Now, if you are not into contemporary Christian music, I completely understand. And there's a lot of great opportunities and options on Spotify or other apps or YouTube or anything like that. But I've found that that's an easy way for me to tie in worship throughout my day when I'm getting in the car, when I'm going about some of the work that I'm doing. But I also have found that at nighttime when I'm washing up the dishes and I have a few minutes of quiet and I can't do anything else because my hands are in the sink and sudsy and the children have started to head up towards getting ready for bed, it's a great opportunity to reflect and to think and to pray and talk to the Lord.
Just like Brother Lawrence.
Yes, just like that. Exactly.
Katie, in fact, and the monk.
He's the one who inspired me with that whole dishes thing. I thought, oh man, they never end. Well, you know what? Prayer time should never end. So at least I can tie the two together and take a moment to reflect in that time. I have also found that I go through various seasons when if I sign up for a Bible study, that has been an excellent way for me to dive deeper into the Word and make sure that I am getting that time with the Bible, reading it, going to various Bible studies. I love to listen to the St. Philip's podcasts because I always get a deep theological education anytime I listen to a sermon or a podcast series. There's just so many different ways to make sure that you're listening to something good and something that is uplifting and edifying and also draws you closer in your knowledge and understanding of the Word and of Jesus and his relationship with us. And I sort of liken this to being fed, which is obviously a very biblical aspect of things. Jesus talked about that, you know, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Well, as young adults coming out of, you know, living at home and being in college and then moving into your own place and living out in the world, we have to learn that we have to feed ourselves, which to me, I'm doing a lot of feeding of people these days with my family. And I thought about this recently that, you know, sometimes we fix a big meal because we really want to dive into something and we're really enjoying figuring out how flavors work together. Sometimes we get the Bible and we get to dive deep into something, into one or two passages and really just explore how it all connects and see how it can feed us. But sometimes we really just need something that will keep us moving from one day to the next, and making sure that we're feeding our souls and our spirits and our minds as much as our physical bodies is. When I think about devotional life, I think that's an important aspect of it, because we go to church on Sunday and we have worship and we have the liturgy and we have a sermon, and it's incredible. It is a feast for the soul. And then by Tuesday, we're running a little bit low, and we need to figure out how, as adults, we're going to make sure we can continue, because keeping one foot in front of the other and keeping your head and your heart in the right place, it requires feasting on what God has given us in His Word.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point, because it's the sort of the same idea of if you were only eating good food one day a week, and then you were eating energy drinks and Pop-Tarts and cotton candy the rest of the week, that would not go well on all sorts of levels. And so I think part of the battle on the front end is being aware of what we are feeding on during the week and having an awareness of that, because a lot of times we don't realize all of these things that are coming into our ears and our eyes and our hearts. And a lot of them are things that are really not helpful. And so there may be things that need to be replaced. And I think one of the great things about the devotional life is there's so many ways to do that. Right now, one of the things that I'm finding to be really life-giving in my own devotional life is to, first thing in the morning when I get up, to go and stand outside for my prayer time. And one of the church fathers talked about that creation is the third testament, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and then God's creation and just the beauty of it and the way that God cares for it. And so it's a great reminder to be able to go and stand outside and hear the birds sing and see the sun coming up and feel the breeze or the rain. Fortunately, I have somewhere I can stand under cover so I don't get wet. But that has been really wonderful, and a time to be able to reflect and give thanks and pray. At other points in my life, I've been really committed to journaling. That has been a really helpful practice, particularly when you have a lot of transition going on in your life. I have done independent Bible study. I've done Bible study guides that have been really good. Sometimes, and I'm currently doing this, I'm using the morning prayer liturgy, the shortened form, for family devotions each day. And those liturgies are a wonderful devotional tool because they're rooted in Scripture and they remind you of the timelessness of the things of God. Another thing that I've found to be really valuable that's helpful for accountability as well is to decide with another Christian friend that we're going to read a book of Scripture together, and we will figure out what book to read and then how much we're going to read each day. And then at the end of the day, one of us will text the other with one verse out of what we were supposed to read and then a couple of sentences about it, and then the other person will respond with the same thing, the verse that they've chosen and some sentences of what was significant to them. And that is tremendously encouraging because you see through somebody else's perspective about what God's Word is teaching. I'm also right now doing a podcast that is from Nikki Gumbel from Alpha, where he and his wife do a Bible in the year, and they don't start at Genesis and then Exodus and Leviticus. Each day there is some New Testament, there's a Psalm, and then a portion of the Old Testament. They're all linked together with some commentary, and I find that to be really valuable and helpful in tracing some of the themes that are in Scripture. But I think, you know, that whole idea of having some accountability also is helpful, and people that will ask you about how your devotional life is. But again, as we said before, I think the consistency is really important. There'll be some things that we put in the notes that are some resources that are great to check out in this regard. So we're going to go to questions in just a little bit, but before we do that, any parting thoughts or things that you wanted to share?
Let's see. I think that what you just mentioned about the journaling reminded me that, I mean, personally, I journal. I bring a journal with me everywhere, practically. I go, and I've found it to be extremely helpful in getting my thoughts down on paper. I'm journaling during sermons, so yep, that's me sitting in the pew, writing things down and taking notes. But I've also found that setting aside dedicated time for prayer has been extremely helpful, especially during times of transition in my life, when I'm going through different seasons and I'm not certain what direction I should be going into. And I have deeply appreciated that there are people here at St. Philip's who are willing to pray with me and pray with anyone, really, to come in and have a time of prayer to sort of really get closer to the Lord and ask for discernment. And even one thing that I did this past fall was I agreed to help co-lead a mom's Bible study. And early on in my practice in children's ministry, I found that if you want to learn something well, then volunteer to teach it to somebody else, because in order to be able to teach it and articulate the concepts, you really have to know it well yourself and understand it. And children ask the most amazing questions and they will catch you off guard every single time. So it's great to have had those seasons of my life where I was able to really dive deep and dig into the stories and the concepts in the Bible in order to be able to distill those and share those with small people, because it certainly was an amazing opportunity to learn for my own self and for my own formation. So having helped co-lead the mom's Bible study this past year, I found that to be a deeply formative and helpful practice. You were talking about having accountability, Ryan, where you maybe are with just one or two people and you're holding one another accountable to reading scripture and heading into it. And I found that having a weekly Bible study of some sort where others are there, and even if occasionally you do not do the homework, but you simply show up, I think really the showing up and being reminded and reminding yourself that this is an important aspect of your life can really take you a lot further than you realize. And you know, even if it is just 5 minutes, or on those days when you don't really think you've got anything in you, turning to something familiar, a passage that you know and love, you can recite by heart, but maybe you open it up and read it again and you notice something else, or the Lord speaks to you in a different way based on what you're going through, because as he says, the word is living and active, and it really does pierce us and help us to see the truth for what it is.
Well, that's a great place to stop and to jump into some questions. We've got a good group of questions already, and the one that has gotten the most upvotes is this: as Christians, how in depth and when should we prioritize deeper theology, church history, and any other timely education relating to Christianity? So, thoughts about that?
You want me to go first?
Sure.
I will just say right off the bat, I am not a theologian, and church history is not my my place. So it has not been a priority in my life. I guess in some ways the concept of theology being that, you know, the right ordered thinking and how you look at the truth of God's word is very important. But I think really prioritizing a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you are looking at what kind of time do you have, it is much, much more important and eternally impactful to focus on God's living word than it is to focus on the arguments about God's living word that have been going on for thousands of years.
Yes, exactly. No, I think that is such a good point, because I think it is easy to get sidetracked trying to know about Jesus versus knowing Jesus. And I think part of the devotional life is that the priority is on building that relationship with the Lord. That being said, you know, we every Sunday we hear the commandment that Jesus said is the greatest commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And mind is part of it. So that does mean that there's some value in trying to learn about theology and church history and all of those kinds of things, but they are second order after our relationship with Christ. And I would say, particularly for us in this country, I used to always get a lot of grief from my European friends, because one of the things I majored in college was American history, and they would say, how can you major in that? There's so little of it. It's only started in 1776. And they kind of had a point to that. And just having come back from Oxford and being in these places where Christianity has been practiced for 1,000 or 1,500 years, it makes you realize that our Christian history in this country is pretty short. And so learning that and having context about how the Christian faith has grown over the years, the Christian understanding of different theological things, which to me is how do you apply the Word of God to real life. There's value in that, but keeping the main thing of focusing on Jesus and His Word is the main point. So the second question was, how important is it to study church history? I think we answered that already. So the next question was, what do you think about Sarah Young's devotional Jesus Calling? I've heard it's controversial because she writes from the perspective of Jesus. And I will say, I know a lot of people who have been profoundly helped and impacted by that devotional guide. Obviously, when she's trying to write from the perspective of Jesus, that's a bold thing to try to take on. But I think she is very informed by what Scripture says and by Jesus's teaching. So I have found it to be sometimes very helpful and meaningful and impactful, particularly if you are at a difficult point in your life and then you feel that this word is coming to you, particularly when it's a word that is grounded thoroughly in Scripture. But I would say it is one of those chew up the meat, spit out the bones kind of things. It is certainly not a substitute for an in-depth Bible study. So I don't know if you have used Jesus Calling or have any thoughts about it.
I have not actually used the devotional myself. Unfortunately, I don't have a whole lot of thoughts on it.
Okay, all right. Well, that being said, we will move on to the next one. Do you have any podcast recommendations for things that would be helpful in the Christian life? And I would say yes. I could talk for a long time about that. I think that one of the advantages of the world we live in is that there are a lot of Christians who are putting some really good content out there in podcasts. I already mentioned the Bible in a Year that Nikki and Pippa Gumble do. One of my young adult daughters really likes the Bible Recap that Tara Lee Cobble does. There are so many different things that are out there. Premier Unbelievable in the UK has a bunch of different podcasts which are really useful. At the risk of shameless self-promotion, I would recommend some of the St. Philip's podcast, and particularly if you're a new Christian, if you have never read C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity, I think that is something that the Lord has used in so many people's lives to deepen their faith. And we have a podcast from that that somehow or another has gone viral, that usually is the top hit on Google if you Google Mere Christianity podcast. But I would, especially if you are a new Christian or you're experiencing doubts about your faith, that is something I would commend to you. So what about you? What about, what podcast have you found helpful?
Well, I have particularly enjoyed binging on the St. Philip's podcast.
You don't even work here yet.
No,
so
I don't
great.
Even work here yet. It's been amazing. I've felt like I've gotten an Oxford level education just while I'm folding laundry, or I can't vacuum the floor while I'm listening to a podcast because the vacuum is too loud. But no, I love, absolutely love putting in my headset and turning on any of the St. Philip's podcast. And I bounce around topically. Sometimes I'm interested in a in-depth study of Ephesians, and I can go back and find that. Sometimes I'm particularly excited about one of Brian's classes, and that was actually my first introduction to the St. Philip's podcast. I could not attend on an evening because I had very small children, and being able to receive that material and in a way that I could digest it, and also at a time when I could make it work for me, was just an incredible gift. And I love that with the technology that we have these days, love it or hate it, we are able to get a message out across time, because I have actually gone back and listened to sermons and talks from years ago. In fact, I've gone onto YouTube and I've deep dived into other preachers to hear what they had to say about certain topics 20 years ago. And I know that that's a neat thing to bring into some of the teachings that you all do as well, that you're able to talk about sermons now. We don't just have to be able to read the text, we can hear the voices of those who preached in the past, which is pretty powerful. So I would highly recommend the St. Philip's podcast, and anybody else Brian says, I trust that he knows exactly what he's talking about. He's going to have great recommendations.
All right, well, cool. And anytime anyone wants to talk more about that, always happy to do that. All right, so next question. How do you push through feeling like studying the Word is a chore? Sometimes we are on fire and can't get enough, but other times it is tough to feel excited. That is such a great question. It's such a real thing. I know sometimes people think, oh, priests never deal with anything like that. But let me assure you, that is not true. That there are some days, even when you are a clergy person, that you get up and it's just tough. And you know that you should go and do your devotional time, and everything is militating against your doing it. But I think the real question is, that's going to happen in everybody's life. And the question is, how do you deal with it? And I would say the first thing to not do is to go on a massive guilt trip. Because what Satan would love is for you to just feel so guilty about feeling that way or about skipping your devotion that you just decide you're just not going to talk to God because you're afraid he's going to be angry at you. And that is completely not a scriptural viewpoint. God wants us to run to him with whatever we're dealing with. That's one of the beautiful things you see in the Psalms. David's emotions are all over the place. There are times where he's done with God, and he's just honest in talking with God about that. There's a wonderful quotation in Lewis's The Screwtape Letters, which is about two demons, Screwtape, the senior demon, and Wormwood, the junior, trying to tempt the patient The patient is this guy who is a new Christian believer. And so they're trying to work on strategies to make him lose his faith. And at one point, Screwtape says to Wormwood, our cause, that is the cause of dragging this guy away from his faith, our cause is never in more danger than when the patient, looking around a landscape from every trace of God seems to have vanished, looks around and asks why he has been forsaken and still obeys. And I think there's a deep truth in there that when we push through, when we are in that time of not being very motivated or feeling like God's word is dry, that is often where blessing is going to be found. And that when you push through, that can be really helpful. That also, if you feel like you're in a season that that's true, that can be a great time to involve someone else in your devotional life, to have a prayer partner or a Bible study partner or something like that.
I think, Brian, as you said, we all go through those seasons. And I think sometimes you don't even always recognize that you're in that season until you sort of wonder, why do I feel this way? Why doesn't it feel right? What's going on? And if you are self-aware enough to catch that early, you are deeply blessed. I think many of us, though, probably have had to have this sort of, you know, like kick in the pants, wake up calls, like, hello, what are you doing? Things are not working out. Let's look at why you are waking up feeling like you are just not where you need to be. And those times when thinking about reading the Bible feels like a chore, though, I personally find there are plenty of times when I think, ugh, but I think that's when I'm putting on expectations of what I am supposed to be doing rather than approaching it with the expectation that God wants to do something through it. And when you approach God speaking to you through His Word, through the Bible, with the expectation that He has something to say, that the Creator of the universe, the one who made you and knows you and loves you and formed you in your mother's womb and has a plan for your life, when you approach His Word with the expectation that He has something He wants you to know or has something He wants you to learn, it brings back some of that excitement, because it's an opportunity to learn more about Him, but it is also an opportunity to see yourself more deeply and more clearly. And I think sometimes we come at the Bible with this, you know, expectation that, oh, I've got to figure it all out, or I've got to read something and understand it really well. And the truth is, you won't. And people have been digging into it and exploring it and talking about it for such a long time. But the more you read it and the more you get to know it and the more you learn it, the more you will see and the more you will understand. And it just becomes this beautiful tapestry, and you get to see your place in it more. So I think in those times when it does feel like a chore, as I said previously, go back to something that you do know fills you up, and let that be what you get for the day. But don't just walk away from it.
Yeah, that's so good. And I think, you know, one of the other things that I think can be helpful in those seasons is to really practice gratitude. And what I mean by that is to literally make a list of maybe 10 things a day that you are grateful to God for. Because I think often when we are in those seasons that seem dry, we're feeling kind of beaten down, we may be discouraged, and the scriptures tell us that we are to give thanks in all circumstances. And so sometimes we need to jumpstart that, and as we begin to do that, it can change the attitude of our heart. So one last question, this is another great one, that if we could fully answer this, it would solve lots of problems for the world. How can I properly view my life through biblical lenses as opposed to viewing the Bible through my life lenses? And I think that's such an important question and such a provocative question, because a lot of times we don't realize that we're using a lens to look at our lives. And we may, that may be a new concept for some of y'all, but the fact of the matter is the framework that we believe makes a huge difference in the way that we approach how we live each day. If you believe that you are wonderfully and fearfully made by a loving creator who made you in his own image to live eternally and to experience joy in his kingdom, that is one lens. A very different lens is the lens that most of our culture is in right now, which is that there is no creator. You are a cosmic accident who kind of emerged somehow from the primal goo, and your life really doesn't have meaning or purpose, and it's up to you to define yourself. You're just sort of raw material, and joy is something you may never experience. So obviously, as a Christian, I would say that first way of thinking is the right one. But even if you are a Christian, if you are listening to and reading and taking in all week long things that are all from that other point of view, it is going to shape the way that you think about reality. So I would say the first part of being able to deal with this question is think about what are the inputs in your life. Because if you are surrounding yourself with truth, beauty, and goodness, when you're surrounding yourself with things of the kingdom of God and good literature and good teaching and friends, you know, Proverbs tells us that bad company corrupts good character. It all depends on what you're surrounding yourself with. So I think being intentional about doing an inventory first to sort of figure out what's coming into your life. And then secondly, if the things that are coming in are not good, beginning to replace those things with things that would help lead you in a better direction. So thoughts on that?
That's a tough question, because often we don't see our own biases when we're reading through something or we hear something. We think, oh, I agree, or I don't agree, or that I don't know about that. And taking the time when you have that sort of check of, wait, I don't like this. I don't like what I'm reading, or I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, or that hasn't been my experience. Then taking the time to ask, why do I feel this way? Why do I wonder or not want to accept this as truth? And then being willing to sit with that for some time, I think is also really important. But I love what you said, Brian, about the inputs. You know, what are we marinating in all week long when we're scrolling through our phones or flipping through Netflix and whatever we're doing, reading the paper or having TikTok. I don't know. I'm not on social media very much, so I'm a poor example of this. Because I haven't
or
done
a good
that.
Example.
Maybe I don't know. I kind of feel like that's like a pop of sugar, right? Those entertainments. And they're fairly empty, but you know, they fire off your dopamine, they fire off your brain. And then when you pull away from that and you get into something that is beautiful and true, but is also challenging, it's not easy. And it's not that quick dopamine release pop of sugar that was easy to consume and now I'm on to the next thing. Being willing to accept that the work of forming your spirit and forming your soul and really forming your perspective on what you are here for and why you were made to exist on Earth is not going to be easy. It's going to be work, and it's going to require a level and a depth of self-awareness, and also talking to other Christians about it. You know, don't think that you have to interpret everything on your own. Please don't think that. Please go and talk to people, have, you know, dig into a sermon that speaks to a particular point, do research on it, figure out what it means and what it's saying, and also recognize that our cultural lens that we're used to is very, very different than the lens that, you know, Jesus and the time that Jesus lived in. But the beautiful thing is that the Bible speaks to eternal truth. And just because the soup that and the pond that we're swimming in has a different kind of situation doesn't mean that what is being held up in Scripture is not absolutely truth. And so it really is important for us to try to maintain some awareness of that, and also and be willing to accept when we're feeling challenged, and take that as an opportunity to look into it more.
Yeah, I think that whole idea of, you know, going deeper is work, but it's the same thing if you are trying to get into physical shape, like especially if you're training for a sport. It's not like there's a magic pill that you can take. It requires doing work over a period of time, but then as you do that, you start getting better and seeing results and are able to lean more into it. And I think one of the things you said, I just wanted to emphasize again, that, you know, talking to other people can be really helpful in this, and really encourage the idea of, if you don't have a spiritual mentor, looking for one and praying that God would send that right person into your life. Mentorship is a profoundly scriptural idea that we are called to, as older believers, invest in younger believers, and younger believers to invest in believers who are younger than they are. And so there's a beautiful sort of chain there that can be really wonderful. Well, this has been great. Katie, thank you so much for your time and your willingness to be here. We will be around afterwards to talk for anybody who has questions. Thanks for coming. Our next one will be August 27th back here at Henry's, and we will look forward to seeing you then. Thanks so much.